Kelly's here, so we'll come back to that. But as long as you're here, why don't we go ahead and do 2.3, CRC ballot measure and election time frame. Go ahead, Lori.
I think we've already covered time frames. The two action items I had were review this, the description, explain exactly what's in a ballot title, mm-hmm. so you guys can get started on thinking about that, and then, you know, come up with some kind of proposal, even though we don't know what the resolution is going to look like. So the other thing you guys asked me to find out about was whether there's any limitation on commissioners sitting on the committees that determine the ballot statement.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just start with that.
Okay.
Kel and I had a chance to talk about that a little bit this morning. I couldn't find any laws prohibiting it. It doesn't talk about there's potentially some sort of conflict of interest issue that would have to be resolved, but you guys did not check your rights as citizens when you walked in the door for this job. So there isn't anything I can find that would prohibit that, and I think it's appropriate. It would have to be in your capacity as a citizen versus a commissioner, but that seems to be something you guys
all... you can't put your title on it or something?
There's not even anything advice-wise that goes as far to say that, but...
Okay.
They don't put titles no matter what this game scoop is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think they put titles. I don't think elections last or puts it.
I know what the restrictions are for lawyers in terms of some of that stuff just offhand, but there wasn't any prohibition. It's the only good way I can say what I found, which was nothing, which is a good sign under the law. and if I do find anything, I'll let you know, but the statutes and the cases were void of that issue. And I can certainly ask around. I'm sure it has happened in the past. I didn't get a call back from our state Secretary of State's office on the issue, but I have one more person I can call and text and find out.
Hey, Axel, could you grab Erica chair, please?
So in terms of the, I didn't pass this out, of the ballot title, here is the summary that should more clearly give you an idea of the the three sections and the word requirements that I tried to explain in the last meeting. I know there was some confusion about that term, ballot title, because it sounds like it's a title and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So this
hey
should...
Kelly, switch around a little bit so we can get to the table. Sorry.
That's all right.
I hate people lurking.
This should more clearly kind of show you what we're looking at. Next section I just summarized... the advisory vote, the three issues on an advisory vote from the last time I was here. And then hopefully this answers your question, Commissioner Madore. RCW 29A36071 is the section that requires that they be prepared by the prosecuting attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The advice from the Secretary of State's office indicates that as practice, staff or their independent counsel may propose the language. It's simply the PA's office that's ultimately responsible for defending it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I looked up some ballot title samples just so you could get an idea of some that have been approved at both the state and local levels. I picked a jurisdiction other than Clark County. I picked one from Lewis County and a state initiative. And those are the examples at the bottom of the page.
Uh-huh.
On the back of this sheet is some proposed language I came up with based on our conversation from last week. I'll give you a minute to read that if you like.
We should be able to figure it out from all this information. That's for sure.
I hope so.
Job.
Yeah.
So both of these examples have to do with using staff time and financial resources. We had talked briefly about at the end of the last meeting about basically seeking the opinion. We're seeking their opinion whether or not they agree with our position more to closely get a vote is an up or down vote. On that without saying, well, it's really, you know, because of what they're saying now, I was like, that was about a tax, and that was about county resources, versus they really want an up-down vote. So the idea of making a resolution that would say basically be an opinion resolution, and then seeking whether or not they agreed with our opinion that it should be that in our opinion the citizens deserve an up or down vote, and so the resolution would be worded in a way that would be determining their opinion on an up or down opinion on this project.
Yeah, and in line with that, I did take a look at the resolution that you brought up last week, just looking at the detailed wording of the existing resolution, 2013-2-3, you know, to see if it could be used or referenced in this process.
Probably modified in some way.
And you can reference it, you know, in the resolution, for mm-hmm. example, that you're mm-hmm. going to draft.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring it in that way. And you could change the wording of that last question, I think, to reflect what you're aiming at in terms of an up or down vote. But again, be careful that you're not violating the advisory vote requirement
yeah.
in asking them for something outside of your jurisdiction. So that's where
yeah.
the wording is a little tricky. We just have to be careful how it's worded.
Yeah, and I think there's a way there, because we understand that we can't claim jurisdiction we don't have jurisdiction over. But and so we're not really, so as long as we understand that, we can still seek an opinion, and that's advice. So
but we can only seek advice over things that we have control over. We can't seek their opinion on should the sky
yeah.
remain blue or should we go to war with Afghanistan.
I was thinking about those two.
But a federal issue
sure.
like should
yeah.
we go to war with Afghanistan, we can pass a resolution in opposition to war, in general or specifically, and say we're not, and lots of jurisdictions did, opposed the war with Iraq. My understanding is that it would not be appropriate to go to an advisory vote of a resolution should we go to war with Iraq, because we have no authority over a war with Iraq, and so it misleads voters and adds to their cynicism, thinking that somehow they have authority or control over a federal issue.
Of course, of course.
Is that fair to say? Or?
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay.
I wouldn't differ from that at all, Steve.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we understand. So the best way would be for us to propose and submit that to you and see if, in your opinion, it passes muster. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge and going back and forth a little bit to be able to find the safe yet the most direct way to be able to provide a voice from the people, and that's most meaningful.
Right.
And yet stays within the law.
And I think we discussed last time we're up against an August deadline to get in on the general election. So we're looking
August
at an
6th.
August 6th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You should remember it, isn't it?
Great. So I will not be here next week, so if you
so from us next step, Cindy, you want to start sending drafts to Lori and start having her do a, like, yeah, this works, this doesn't, start kind of throwing proposals at her?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we start throwing proposals as you come up with ideas for them, throw them at Lori,
yes,
yeah. and then she can do a quick kind of thumbs up, thumbs down. I think this might work.
This week, because she's not going to be here next week.
I will be
well,
in Washington.
Well, we have a few weeks,
week.
Right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And
where
this
are you?
This
you in Washington? Ah, look at you.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Ooh,
all right.
Good.
Be fun.
Good.
Yeah. The busyness that we're all, at least, well, I think we're all busy. Over the next several weeks, we'll hopefully get through the process
great.
In a way that will
cool.
yield the best results.
Excellent. So we'll start throwing ideas at you, and within the next few weeks, we'll get back together and recap the ideas, see if we can't get something to move forward to hearing.
Okay, sounds great.
Cool. Thank you
Thanks
so much,
Lori.
For
appreciate all your help on this.
Great job.
All right. Kelly, invocation guidelines, do we have, and Bronson's not here, obviously, but do we have anything, any update?
Where we left it last week was the request was for me to draft an invitation letter. You may
saw
recall
that.
I sent out the directions to the H tribe so you could have a chance to review
mm-hmm.
it before today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, you've had the information kind of on the full scope of it, and the question is, where do you want to go from?
Did you guys get a chance to read
no.
the letter that Kelly sent?
No.
No? All right, we haven't had a chance to all read the letter that came from you, so by
next week,
hopefully, let's come back and have read that letter, and then we can tell them either send
is
out.
Is that an email or is that H drive?
I sent the email directing to the H drive where
okay.
it's been placed for review. It's just a Word document.
All right, cool. Freeholder resolution. Kelly is also on that. What do we have?
You had asked what election the freeholders could be elected at.
Oh, yeah. I had asked the question because we were talking about timelines, right. And so I was trying to figure out what are our timelines and can the freeholders be elected in us, because it seems like they were done in the primary before. Like the freeholders were elected in a primary, and then they charter itself has to be on a general election, but what we found, or what they found, is the election of freeholders may be during a general or special election. So it can be any time, really.
Well, it's very interesting. Both the charter can be in any election, and the freeholders can be in any election if it's a referendum from the board to establish the board of freeholders. But if it's an initiative, in other words, a petition method where the electorate decides to bring that question to the people, then it has to be a general election. And then,
so we have a choice.
To create a charter can be during any election, but to amend a charter has to be during a general. So the law is kind of interesting.
Got it. But my specific question was, because we got to talk about next steps and what we're doing on this. And we have till the August deadline if we want to put, because you can put the freeholder election on the general election. So we can.
I think we need the time between now and then to rightfully propose it. And on the consent agenda with the resolution.
Well, I think we need to have a hearing about that. I mean, public meeting at least, because we have kind of the different variations on a theme, and to at least get the input through a public meeting, if not a public hearing, makes sense to me.
Well, the public hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get people's input on, you know, you guys good with us moving forward with a freeholder election? So.
I think we've got to nail it down to what we're going to. What it's going to look like.
Right.
And then just put on the our regular board hearing.
Right. Yeah. No, agreed. It's just a matter of timing as far as that, and we have until August 6th, it looks like, to solidify whether we're going out to a freeholder election in this November.
Would you like me to draft the resolution?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I think you gave me one, I thought.
I think I included the copy of the 2000 resolution on the H drive.
Okay.
Well, didn't you draft one up too? You drafted them. But yeah,
I've got a
folder.
I've got a
folder.
I've got a big folder of stuff.
Yeah. So is this just resurrecting from last time? Just recycle that? Is it going to be any different?
We can do it. 2000. But I
need to set some conditions. You need to set some conditions with that resolution. You need to set the size.
Right. And that's what he did. Right. In his resolution, he changed the size of the number of, number of freeholders and all that kind of stuff.
We'll put it back in the folder and didn't do anything with it.
All right.
We'll bring it back out.
All right.
Why don't I take that and put that on the H drive then, and we'll just have that for reference, and then...
We'll put it together. And then
so you're going to put all the original documents from the last time this was
those are
on the stripe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The original, the charter we passed.
Steve.
Okay.
So I will. We'll host you. The board will host a public hearing prior to August on a resolution calling for election of freeholder.
Right. Sooner the better, so we're not against the clock all the time. So
yeah.
I'll move forward with it. Work with Kelly and gather all the stuff I have on it, all the stuff he's got on it, and put down one piece of paper.
Impossible.
Big print, double spaced.
All right, so you're going to come, we're going to come back on this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly and I, right?
You're going to work on it. So what's timing on, you want to come back next week, two weeks?
I think we'll come back next week.
All right, we're going to come back next week with info on that. 2.4, vacant department head positions.
I understand why I was gone last week. Commissioner Mielke had a question about Marnie, our interim public health director, is meeting with you, and Commissioner Mielke had a question about what's the deal with the department head. So I thought I'd better report on what I feel is the status of the two vacancies, since ultimately you're going to charge me with bringing that. In the case of the public health department, I have Marnie meeting with Vanessa Gaston to initiate discussions about economies of scale. We have a health department that's half the size it was 5 years ago, and now we have a community services department that's half the size it was last year. So we have two diminished departments with somewhat diminished service roles, And I think it would be very imperative for us in the age of reconfiguration and diminishing resources if we'd be remiss if we did not have initiated discussion to at least talk about it. I know the employees are all at Twitter. I've told the public health staff that I wanted those discussions to take place, that they would be involved in it. Mm-hmm. So those have begun between the two directors. I want them to come with to me with what their thoughts are, and then I want to come to you and talk about the sideboards of that and get your permission to go forward to talk with the staff and talk about real changes that might be made.
You want to do that before we go out for to advertise it?
I think that would be wise because then we know. I think we go from doing nothing. I mean, the answer could be do nothing, keep the departments exactly where they are, and I would go forward with your direction to hire a new public health director.
I'd like to play a big piece in that, too. I'd like...
Absolutely, yeah. Commissioner. That goes without saying.
I think, John was a good example. He's a great manager. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a doctor. Mm-hmm. You already have a doctor there. So John's a perfect example of a good manager, supervisor. Mm-hmm. That made it so successful.
Right.
The experts are in the department, but the position was manager.
Right.
And he's a perfect example.
He did have a master's in public health. I mean, he didn't have a doctorate until recently, but he did have a lot of experience in a master's in public health, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he just came off the street as a manager or something.
Yeah, he worked through the biggest health department in the state.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that I don't think emphasis has to be on that so much as or being tied together, the manager in public health or manager. Manager alone when it's not good. Public health alone is not good. Mm-hmm. We're looking for something.
Agreed. Manager of public health is good.
Agreed.
And in relation to Department of Environmental Services, I thought we had agreement that we would hold the work session, which I believe is coming up in the next 2 weeks, to revalidate with you what the role of the DES is, what their mission is. Say, yeah, that's what we want them to do. And then with that, you'd give me direction to go hire a director. That's
we just did a new description. The description of the job.
I gave you a copy of it. Yeah. You asked for a copy of it. I gave it to you.
Changed a little bit.
I haven't here getting any input. I'd be happy.
We changed the railroad coordinator one. Economic development rail.
Yeah. Oh,
I forget
the recruitment for railroad. Railroad corridor development director.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and that one's in process, right?
Yes, yeah. That one's been
that's being
advertised.
It's out on the street.
But the DES one, the DES one is not.
No, sir. I was waiting I'm waiting for the validation from the board at the work session.
Yeah, because I don't know about you guys. I'm having people ask me about people who are interested and people who are interested from an employee and a stakeholder standpoint, and people interested in the position.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm curious. No, I don't know. What's going on? So
there's
a work session?
Yes, work session. Basically, they have a presentation. I've looked at it. They're going to give you basically, here's the department, here's our mission, here's what we're doing. You want us to continue to do that? And if so, then that's what the director will be directed to do. So go out and hire one. Start the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought we agreed to.
I think we can still do that, but I'm thinking in the interest of time. We can do both.
I'm happy to begin the process.
I'd like to go out and start looking.
David, you're thinking.
I am thinking. The permit process, this resolution that whatever we're trying to do, you guys already have in place the fee holiday, and yet we're still getting a lot of consistent requests to speed up the process, and that those developments are two parts, basically. There's the building part and whatever, and the part that the role that the Department of Environmental Services plays, and that needs a champion. That needs somebody to be able to really focus on the passion to comply and somehow become the model for the Department of Ecology. But to champion the permits for development for our county so we find a way to to streamline that process and have a passion to get that those permits through there. Through.
I met with AAA Septic yesterday morning, I think it was, and I've been in touch with two other individuals, and we seem to be having a very similar problem with the permitting process in the health department.
And health department or environmental services?
This is public health. Septic.
Public health department.
I thought that one case was cleared up.
And I talked to Marty real loosely about bringing that into the permitting.
Yeah, we're talking
also
about that. We're
just
in deep discussion
now,
about that.
But I think it needs to be weighed and considered.
Yep.
I don't know how, but the bill to figure out.
And David's talking, Commissioner Medora is talking about kind of the permitting processes within environmental services.
Right.
Was that part of what?
I think it needs to be. And then, but they talked the other day that they had someone there, and he didn't have enough work full time.
Yeah, you're talking about the septic.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah. We're working on that because we're redoing the permit center, as you know, and we're working with health because Marnie thinks there might be an automated way to do it, so the people don't have to go over to the Center of Health,
we
do it right on the computer.
Well, what happened
is
that
they
were tasked here at the permitting office.
Right, correct.
And that's, you know, they got lazy here and just sent everybody over there. They went and got over there.
Simply stated, it didn't work out, and we're going to work it out this time.
We got a solution. About permitting process. In that DES is part of that. I think as we look at that, I think we need to look at that also.
So on the DES side, I don't disagree with anything you said. So did you have thoughts on kind of how we move forward on that, or you know, how to find that champion, as it were?
Yeah, I do. You know, as we sat through this last work session with the DEEB, their priority is timing. And the process for us, that timing is going to improve when you have leadership there that can focus on championing that. And you know that during our, I love to break things down into two, short term, long term. We have a building season that's upon us now. If things go forward on our resolution May 7th, we're going to get lines, and the lines are going to stack up in front of the Department of Environmental Services. So, sense of urgency, we need to be able to address that now. I asked Bill, I talked with Bill on Monday about the timing. What is the normal process? The normal process takes 90 days to go out there and start advertising, recruit, and then finally select somebody. That's 3 months away. I'm thinking it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I have Don Benton contacted me over the weekend. He had some people visit him, and so he submitted an application. I'm going to share with you guys.
Okay.
I talked with Bill ahead of time
Thank you.
There you go. So to start with, back in March, middle of March, we started looking at the qualifications and the job description for that. So if you take a minute and read, Bill echoed back and say, "Yep, that would be great. What we need," you can paraphrase what you said.
Oh, this is what, yeah.
So let me just read that. Since we need a new environmental services department head rather than rehire an environmental bureaucrat. Well, I don't mean that in a negative response.
I think, yeah.
I propose the following draft. If we get this right, Clark County will become a great example and model of success for the Department of Ecology while we solve our local jobs crisis. That's the sense of urgency. We have a local jobs crisis. We have to keep mindful of that. Leadership is the most indispensable qualification for this role that champions practical application of state law in granting developmental permits. Leadership qualifications include a long track record that includes strong leadership success in both governmental operations and private business management experience as an entrepreneur and CEO possessing the following proven effective skills: pioneer and manage new innovative organizations, build and train teams committed to customer service and compliance, public relations, write and utilize multi-million dollar budgets, set and negotiate salaries, effectively communicate as a public speaker, pioneer practical, creative, innovative solutions that balance priorities. These qualifications stand in sharp contrast to an environmental specialist that lacks the above qualifications. It would be so natural if we go out there and we advertise for an environmental services department head. The natural thing there is we're going to get somebody who has a passion for environmental, and they're not going to necessarily have the kind of skills that's going to be economic development to balance those out with the management skills to head up this very large department. The intent is to champion community success and compliance with government regulations rather than building an impractical job-killing bureaucracy. And so far, we've done a pretty good job of building a job-killing bureaucracy.
That's not true, but well, that's your opinion based on not knowing the organization.
It's overstated.
It is overstated. Well said.
But we're not in good standing with the Department of Ecology the way it is. We need to be able to somehow...
It's not because that we're an impractical job-killing bureaucracy that the DOE doesn't like us.
Let me finish. It's because we haven't had the balance of ensuring that we are not swimming upstream and resisting the Department of Ecology. I think we can be friends with them and that we really can be a model with them. And we can also champion how to implement this. I think the problem is not that the Department of Ecology is killing jobs. The problem is how we're implementing those policies here. I think it's possible. We get somebody with a balance of private sector experience, entrepreneur, management, communication, collaboration building, all of that. We can get it right.
So there's... Go ahead, sir.
So with that... this is what I received from, this is what Don Benton emailed me over the weekend here. It has come to my attention that Director Environmental Services position with Clark County is open. Decades of experience in both the private and public sectors, successfully leading teams and managing complex projects, has provided me with the unique qualifications for this position. Clark County is an outstanding innovator in so many areas for the state. With the right leadership, I believe that Clark County can become a model of success in environmental services as well. I welcome the opportunity to lead this crucial department in collaboration with multiple departments, the DOE, and local job creators to enhance our natural and economic environment. I ask for the opportunity to streamline our environmental permits to help navigate Clark County out of our current jobs crisis while protecting our environment for future generations. Pioneering new practical ways to comply with the new standards flowing from the Department of Ecology can breathe new life into Clark County development that optimizes environmental stewardship and fosters healthy economic growth. My resume is attached. And he would like to be able to talk with Bill Barron and whatever the process would be there. At the time, that was before a special session started at May 13. I did talk with him today to learn what's the update with this special session and also the potential conflict that can happen, because basically he's still a legislator, and he would, when legislature is in session, he would have to be there probably most of that time.
So he wants to keep being a state senator and work full time for the county?
Well, that's what I asked him about.
That's not uncommon at all.
Brian
Moore, he was a full time senator mm-hmm. and acting CEO of
River
Mental Health.
He was an interim.
And there's also Tim Shelton, he's the county commissioner.
Of a small county, of Mason County.
County commissioner.
Right, which is of a tiny county, and Mason County is right next to Olympia.
I'm just making my point with you. A couple of examples real quick there. So.
Yeah, but they're not the same. It's apples and oranges, man.
So what you would not, what would not be right, would be double dipping, where you're paid here and you're paid as a legislator, or you got, you know, that kind of thing going on. And I asked him about that. This upfront, Don, you need to draw one paycheck. If you're not going to be here, then you can't be paying, drawing a paycheck here. If you're not going to be there, you can't be drawing a paycheck there. And he said, absolutely, I'd be the first one to offer that.
So who would manage the department during the legislative session if the manager of the Environmental Services Division was in Olympia, which is 100 miles away?
He just said that.
No, he said he wouldn't draw a paycheck. I'm just saying, you know, you can't, I don't know how.
That's something we could talk to him about. To me, I couldn't have a better person.
Well, to answer the question.
I mean, if you want to be successful in something, to have an open mind.
He's an insurance salesman. How does that qualify him to be the environmental services director of a large organization?
He teaches news TV stations how to advertise.
So he's an advertising salesman.
He's a teacher. We're going to look at his resume there.
I've known Don for a while, and I just browsed it. So I guess the question is, what are you proposing? We have a work session that's set for 2 weeks from now to actually find out from the organization itself, because that's what you guys had asked for them to do, is to figure out how is the reorganization going, what could be done better, what kinds of things do they need, and then look at a director. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we have in front of us a person that's well qualified as a manager, who knows the private and the public sector, who can jump in and champion both causes.
Dude, that stinks of political cronyism. Stinks of political cronyism. To not even interview people, but to offer up a candidate who just so happens to be a political ally for a position that maybe he is qualified. But if you don't put him through a process that even evaluates that outside of your own judgment, how do you know?
I mean, that's wrong to bring that up. I mean,
it's true.
Copes was just given a job by the governor with no experience at all.
I'm not the governor, and neither are you, and I'm not Copes.
Feinberg was just given a position with the Department of Licensing. So to go back and say it's political cronyism,
takes away
from the expertise that Don has.
Then put him in the mix with the other candidates once you actually have an understanding of what you want. But to just try to appoint somebody who is a political ally to a position
and maybe
he can even do it part-time?
And I think we have a qualified individual.
You have the ability to abuse your authority to do that.
Oh, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you for even suggesting that.
Weren't you just on the election committee for the governor to,
yeah, and
to
I'm
appoint
here.
These people?
And I am
I wasn't
here.
Talking about you. I'm talking about the appointment.
Let me get back on track.
Okay.
I asked him about timing because the legislature right now is jumping into a special session on the 13th. Mm-hmm. I asked him, how's that work? And he said, that could be up to a 30-day session. And the way that he expects it to work, because he's been through this process a number of times.
When he tried to be our lobbyist.
Is that he would...
Oh, yeah, and you hired Wiley.
No, Mike Burgess.
Mike Burgess.
You hired Wiley.
No, we hired Mike Burgess.
No, we hired Mike
Sharon
Burgess.
Sharon Wiley was there for 4 years.
That's why we were looking
Don
for
Don Benton
him.
Applied, and we chose Mike Burgess over Don Benton.
Yeah, now tell me about this cronyism. Okay.
Burgess.
Okay, to get back on track. Nobody knows how it will go, but the way that he expects it to go is it would be probably several days there, and then the negotiators would do their thing, and they would call back the legislators, they would vote, and the session would be over. That's what they expect. They don't know. It could be anywhere in the length of time. The negotiations is really what's in the works, and that's when they don't necessarily have to have most of the legislators there. So that wraps up the legislative session. Even during that time, he would be available, and I would think that there's process that needs to happen. He would need to interview with Bill Barron and with HR, and we have to make sure it's the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is the right fit, then He would basically be here and through the end of the year. The session starts up again. So the next session is a 60-day session. Second Tuesday in January is when it starts up. He would be gone, most likely, most of that time. That's the one disadvantage.
Oh, that's
he'd be gone for there. 3 months. You just talked about there. What a big organization that, you know, what a big department it is and how important it is to the success of our community. And I totally agree with everything you said on that. And then you follow up by talking about trying to appoint your buddy part-time to the job. Do you see the discrepancy of logic in that? I mean, you can't have both. You can't say it's an important job within our community and our county organization and that requires a lot of work to really get it right, to create jobs.
You're right.
And to preserve the environment and quality of life that brought you and many others here in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then say you want to appoint somebody without much process part-time. You can't have it both ways.
You want an answer?
Yeah, please.
Okay. This is the same thing, the same reason that I'm able to be here and not at U.S. Digital, running U.S. Digital, is because there is a process that happens when leadership happens. You develop your team and you empower them and you train them and you guide them and they are able to continue to run and you become dispensable during that process. That works really well. Now, if Don should be the guy and he jumps into this position, he's going to be doing that same process. So first of all, he doesn't come in as I know everything kind of. He's going to come in to listen, to understand, to learn.
That's
and
not
to
his
champion,
strength.
Well, hear me out. And just like Bill here, anybody that's in position of leadership needs to be able to develop at least one other key or two other key or three other key people who can continue to operate because they got the principles, they got the values, they got the processes, they got they're the right people empowered to continue to operate and do what needs to happen even if the key person leaves for a couple months. Oh,
so you started the organization. You started U.S. Digital, right? Mm-hmm. It's your company. There's a big difference between you starting your own company and then now coming into this organization and figuring out how to make sure that U.S. Digital runs while you're not there, because you still own it. Now, if you were going to hire someone at U.S. Digital and you had a position of great value to your organization that you said is really important to the success of the organization, would you, if I had a group of people equally qualified, we'll say, one of those people said, I will be there full time to make sure that it is done right. I will develop a team that does things right, but I will be there to make sure, because I'm hiring you, I'm paying you full time to do the job, so you would be paying them full time. And then you got another guy that says, you know, I can be there 6 months of the year to do the job, or 9 months on a good year if we don't go into special session. I can be there 9 months a year to do the job. And this is a rhetorical question, because I would lose respect if you actually said you would hire the guy who told you you'd be there. He'd be there 6 months or 9 months, and I respect you, so I'm not even going to ask the question. So you would hire the person that was going to be there to leave and do the job that you were hiring him to do. That is what we're doing here. We have to hire someone to do the job. If you think Don Benton is the best person for that job, then you say he does the job, but to have him do it 6 months a year and still say it's important.
See, I think you're exaggerating.
I'm not.
The next session is a 60-day session.
But we're at the end of April right now. They're going to go into special session May 13th. They will be
done with it at the end of...
Let me
tell you what
special
session consists of.
Yeah. I get it, but he's on the leadership team.
It consists of being on call where the committees work together and you go back
right.
And vote.
And but he's on the leadership team. So he's on the leadership team for the majority coalition.
Not in the committees.
Yeah, he is. For the transportation team. And for overall budget, he's on the leadership team. He's the, what is he, the whip? He's the whip.
No, he had a different title.
I talked to him about his role and his leader. He said he could have chosen leadership teams. He's not. He is not on. He's free.
He's
on the transportation committee.
You have to understand, even at the minimum then, that's 3 months a year. 3 months a year that you're going to just say, oh yeah, we'll pay this guy, but he's not going to be. What are you telling the organization about the importance of the
job? First. And that's the stipulation that would go forward, that this job comes first.
So you're not going to go out and look for the best person. You're just going to take somebody's word for it.
I think this is the best person.
Oh, my gosh.
In the interest of time. No, I mean, what do you mean? He has management skills. He's run his own business. He works two or three jobs. He's taken the total leadership for the last 4 years of the minority.
What does that have to do with running the Department of Environmental Services?
Skills of getting along with others.
Really?
Accomplishing.
Skills getting along with others? Don?
Absolutely. A proven record. I think it's a great choice. I think that you'd shine at the experience. The leadership ability that the man has.
I can't even believe you guys are discussing it. It's disgusting. It really is. I'm done for the day. I'm so sick.
Too bad.
You got to honor the organization. You got to actually honor the integrity of the organization and the process to find the right people for the job. If after that process you find that he is the right person, God bless, then you choose him. And you choose him with pride. But to choose him without even going through a process is diminishing and demeaning to him. It's demeaning to Don Benton because it smacks of political cronyism that you would appoint him without a process. It is saying that he couldn't make it through the process on his own accord with his own merits.
You're way out of line. I think
you guys are out of line.
We don't need 3 months.
No, you need two votes. That's all you need is two votes. You feel free. You do your thing.
Been there, done that. I'm sorry it feels that way. I think it really warrants him talking to Bill. And see what works out. I think the man is talented in his ability. You can't take away his performance, whether you agree with it or not. Yeah, the last 4 years in the minority in Olympia, he has managed to bring together and control Olympia. Because 2 years ago, he and Senator Zarelli passed the budget at the leadership of Don Benton in the House and the Senate. This year, in the minority, he put together a coalition that so far has stopped $1.5 billion in additional taxes and have a proposed budget with no taxes. You don't do that unless you're a leader of sorts. So,
first of all, I respect Bill and I respect Commissioner Stewart, and the whole idea of appointing a favor or a friend to a position. If you that have come to know me since I've been here, you know that I don't grant favors and I don't grant exceptions. When people come from, let's say, citizens and they have a case that they want to talk about how their permit went south or something like that, I do not grant, and I haven't granted favors. Instead, it's example and it's catalyst to be able to identify a category that needs to be improved. When it comes to the what needs to happen here in order for us to make the job creating prior permits a priority for this county, we need to fix what's broken, and we need to fix what needs to be tuned up. We need to be able to make sure we have leadership that can get it, that can champion it. And I like process. I know when we talked about the railroad coordinator, we talked about the process. And that process works well. I respect that process. And in this case, if we walk through a 90-day period to this, and once we nail down what needs to be nailed down, I have to go through the natural process would be for us to wait for 2 weeks, have a work session, digest that, come up with the specifics, go through the recruiting process, and we are over this building season. And I don't, most problems are foreseeable. That's a foreseeable one. The lost opportunity. We need to make sure that we don't set our staff up for failure to overwhelm them with a process that where you need bring in new leadership to champion that. I've looked very carefully at this resume, and it's not because of he's a friend, because I have lots of friends, and I don't grant favors to friends. In fact, I'm overly sensitive to that whole idea. The qualifications have to be right. So what I would like to be able to do is to not insist that this happen, but rather to start the process and to invite him to sit down with Bill, interview with him, and go and to see what we can do. If he is a qualified candidate, let's find out if that be the case. This is the first step to make that happen.
I like that process. I think that I've known Don for a long time. We don't buddy or run around. I go to him when I need help. He's always been there for Clark County. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can say is that, and I think that start the process. I think it'd be great for him to come in and talk to Bill. I think that you'll have a different opinion of him, yeah, from what I know of him.
I think he can hit the ground running. He really has a passion for this area. He really wants to be able to invest in jobs for Clark County, and he's convinced, yeah, that he can. He knows the inside of the legislative process and what goes into the Department of Ecology there, mm-hmm, and to somehow work with them to find ways to brainstorm to make us a model so that we're not fighting this, but we're finding a way to implement it that's smart. Yeah.
I'm not concerned with the legislative part of it. He has another business he has to address also.
I asked him about his business because whoever jumps into this, it can't be a part-time position. It needs to be a full-time position. His business that he's been running for years as an entrepreneur, he's already backed away from that a while ago. This would be his full-time job. And that would be the full-time job. He would put in his time. He would have to perform just like anybody else on Bill's team. He would have to be performed. So he'd be here full time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean, he's a proven character for dedication, and I think he definitely deserves. And I hate to turn someone down because he's an acquaintance. When I guess we all become acquaintances or work buddies or whatever, but I think that he can be very successful at that.
Well, the fact that he's been able to pull together both sides of the aisle up there and pull together a coalition and have it hold during a very, very challenging time, to me, says that he knows how to work with people and get them by in. The people that work most closely with them have a lot of respect for him.
Okay.
Bill, you have his resume. I invite you to communicate with him and give us your feedback.
Okay. Now I'm to do what? I'm to interview him? Start the process?
Mm-hmm.
I can't learn anything more than what you've already said about him. So there's no use in me interviewing him. If you want him as the job, I'll just starting through the process.
Okay.
Because it does no good for me to interview him. You're obliterating every process we've had in place for 14 years.
I think
I've told you that.
You need to ask the question how he's going to deal with his other job. How he feels he's going to deal with the legislature.
Well, you've just said that doesn't make any difference.
So that we know
You just said that doesn't make any difference.
Well, it does make a difference.
What is the mystery?
He can't be running his business and be working here. This has got to be his number one job.
I've already got the answers to that ahead of time.
Okay. And he's resigning his seat in the Senate then?
No. He will be out of session here in a matter of days. He will be full-time available. Mm-hmm. The next session starts as a 60-day session in second Tuesday in January. Between now and then, he's a full-time. He's able to dedicate full-time, continue to learn, continue to empower, train, and...
It may or may not work for a full-time session, but we'll find out. I think that... that's something we could address along the way. This has got to be the priority. I would rather have them. I could see an advantage. You know, and we have citizen legislature. Mm-hmm. We have teachers, doctors, firemen, policemen. That's what the legislature is made up of.
Yep.
So I'll simply communicate with him and tell him and have him come in to process for the job, and I'll make an announcement to the department.
Okay.
This will
work out.
Just so you know, my interpretation, this will devastate the organization, not only the department, but this organization, because this is bypassing every human resource process we have for hiring department heads. Just so you know. You have the meeting. You have the chair now.
Vacancy department heads.
We're done with that.
So we discussed the...
So I'll cancel the work session as well.
On?
DES.
Okay. And we got... We've talked about the health department.
Right.
We talked about the railroad coordinator.
Lifeguards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got two proposals coming, one from the AMR Ambulance Service. Commissioner Medora has talked to Doug Smith-Lee, and they do this kind of service at two different places in Oregon that we know of.
I think I have a bid on that.
I'm getting two proposals, one from them, and then I have the Parks Department, Brian Potter, putting together what it would take for the county to have its own lifeguard system for Kleinlein.
I'm not convinced that that's the way to go.
Well, I talked with risk manager, what's Mark's last name?
Wilson.
Wilson, yesterday, and AMR, when I've been probing for the last several weeks doing some homework on this, and AMR provides lifeguards that are qualified, and they set them up. And the thing that, so we have three possible choices. One, the city of Vancouver do lifeguards. We don't need to do that. It's a cost adder, and we don't have to control. It's a county park. The second one is that Bill would go through the process of finding some part-time. The staff would part-time lifeguards. The county still is in the position of liability in both of those positions. The third one would be to have AMR come in, and they bring their lifeguards in, and our risk management department really likes that idea because they take on the liability as well, and then that shields, or it gives us the advantage that we're not the first one in line when it comes to liability, and that would be about $75,000 for two lifeguards for the full season, and that's with their liability. We did have somebody drown in Kleinlein Pond last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've had people drown in our river, in our parks. Our risk management and our legal service said that we're not necessarily liable because it's open to the public to use at their own risk.
Well, Mark would be here if he'd like to be here. He's not available today.
I was a lifeguard.
You were
in a city park, and so was my sister, and we went through lifeguard training, mm-hmm. and we watched the city pools. So I would think it'd be much the same, but if I remember right, I made a minimum wage, particularly to death, and I had a job for the summer. My sister was in college when she did it, when I was in high school. As a senior when I did it. So,
well, a good experience. You said
when you said $75,000 for two people for the
total
for the season,
the package.
I assume that's a 4 or 5 month season. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well, that was the who was it who called us and with that information from Cressa?
Doug Smith Lee.
Doug Smith Lee. Did the research and they conveyed that information to him and they and that was for a season, and I so we don't know exactly if that's the case. The assumption is that this is the season upon us and that would be the one.
Yeah, it'd be the quickest. The other thing they could do is that if they do it as an individual or AMR, they can name us as additionally insured, which removes the liability from us.
Well, I think that's what the risk management...
No, we just contract. We transfer the risk to them in the contract.
That's great. So there's really two parts to this. One is minimizing the risk to the county, but the other, the real reason for this, is you don't want anybody to drown unnecessarily there at Klein Night.
I think if I recap, I was told that we had someone drown there when we did have a lifeguard there.
Right.
Well, hopefully you've got some diligent people that are watching the and that's why I like
that. And we had someone drown up at Daybreak Park a few years ago.
But the only question here is focusing on Klein Line. They're the only place we've ever had lifeguards. So it's a question of the reason we took them away was for cost.
I think we need to talk to our Mr. Wilston because they said that when you change, you become more liable. So, for example, if you have a lifeguard there, you remove the lifeguard, you're at more risk. Then, if you had a lifeguard, then you remove the lifeguard, then you're at risk. So, when you make that change, so
we are going to do
that's something we should run by him.
Well, I did already. And the idea of us transferring that risk to AMR is a huge win for the county, and that's what this does for us. So that it takes away the biggest reservation, which is the risk, mm-hmm. and it gives us the benefit of having somebody watch so that somebody doesn't drown there.
So if next year we decide not to go that route because we're financially strapped,
and
we don't put them there, someone's going to say, someone just drowned because you took away our lifeguard.
And that could happen. We're looking. The season is upon us now. In fact, it's kind of a short time frame to get a get qualified lifeguards there, where it transfers the risk now, so that we increase the safety. And it's a very good thing for families out there. They'll look at them, and that will be a very good thing for them to say, county. Finally, the county's working. We have lifeguards there, and the feeling of security that they have. That's in addition to their own diligence. It just goes a long way.
Do we have any other swimming holes? Someone's talking about some.
We have, no, not that we specifically outline a swimming area. That's the only place where we had that. And
the other one up there is a big swimming hole, too.
But we don't put out floats and stuff.
No.
So let me get the two proposals, then you can weigh which way is the most appropriate. Because we're coming back. I mean, we had lifeguards, we cut them for budget purposes. Now we're coming back, so that will already have been broached.
Mm-hmm.
How we do it to delegate the most liability will be the goal.
That work to bring it back next week.
What is
I told them to do it as fast as they can because obviously the season is upon us. They open those usually Memorial Day.
So as soon as you find out, why don't you...
I'd like to have Mark here in Legal Service.
Sir?
Mark and Legal Service?
Here. I have a proposal coming for what the lifeguard service would look like as a county function and what lifeguard would look like from AMR as a contract service. And then we'll see the prices and then we would negotiate contracts.
So I'm as concerned about removing them as I am about putting them in there.
Why don't we do this, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
why don't we let Bill go ahead and finish the homework on it, and he can then, and we can, he can bring that so we know specifically what AMR is offering or what the alternative would be. And then you can also talk with our risk manager, and that he can advise what's the best path ahead. Not the, if we had plenty of time, we would make this decision a week from now. The season's already upon us, so between now and then, you can check to see if you want to, if you or Steve want to give the second vote for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That work?
Yeah.
That's all the old business we had, sir.
And Kelly, anything else?
Nothing today.
Axel.
I'm good. I can hold anything here.
Glenn? Mary? You have anything else?
I got this. I got three quick things.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Three quick things.
Last time, I'm sorry. I thought you were doing staff first. I'm sorry. Last week you talked about the farm forestry membership.
Yes.
And I believe the question was, where do we pay it from? For 05, 06, and 07, we paid it from the Department of Community Development budget. We didn't pay it for 10, for 8, 9, and 10, but we paid it out of the commissioner's budget in 11. So I we don't own any associate. We use $65.
Oh,
you want me to write a check? Check for that, or
what do you suggest?
I suggest we just pay it out of our budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Second thing is our arts commission would like to have the new display in our little hallway gallery here. As called Clark County Living the Good Life, it would spotlight artists with ideas of the most livable aspects of our beautiful area, and they would just like the commissioners okay to do that. Once your endorsement of commissioners, they want to call it commissioner's choice.
Support that.
I got approached by a lady from an art gallery in Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even tell you her name, but they might know her.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been included.
In the all she's got to do is call Arts of Clark County.
Well, that's kind of what I told her.
Mm-hmm.
But
because that's the parent.
Could talk, or you, when you go back to talk to them or whatever, if you do talk
you know,
to them.
Give me the name. You want to give me the name?
I don't know it.
Huh?
I don't know it.
Well, let me ask if they know any art gallery owners in Battleground and include them.
She alluded to other art galleries.
Okay.
Bill, I assume that there's not going to be anything controversial.
No.
That's, okay,
well,
great.
If there is, I'll take the hit.
Okay. Thank you.
May 23rd. You are scheduled to... let me tell you what it is first. May 23rd, we are having a massive regional exercise. Scenario is active shooter...
Is that the wannabe? What do you call it? Wasabi. Okay.
It's son of Wasabi.
Well, this is maybe the daughter of Wasabi, but it's the active shooter mass casualty scenario.
That's
at Fort Vancouver, involving anthrax and everything else you can imagine. What happens with that, commissioners? You're not familiar with neither one of you. Well, Commissioner Murphy may be. We have what's called a policy group. One of the structures we put together when an emergency hits, we assemble in that back conference room. Mayor of Vancouver, a commissioner, fire chief, police chief, sheriff, the major figures, first responders, before they set up the, what's it called, Mary? When we set up the command.
This is in response to a call?
This is in response to a specific call.
So
they just wanted to call that together to brief you on the exercise as if to practice coming together.
Oh, yeah,
Commissioner Stewart is the emergency commissioner. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be here. You're going to be at U.S. Digital. You're going to have a 9 o'clock at CJC. So one of you, they want one of you to be there.
I would love to be there. I've got a few things on my schedule here. Coordinate with Anna here. Maybe if we need to reschedule something.
Okay.
Okay, because, I think that's an important...
And that's all. I don't have any... I didn't have any work session requests.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't have anything except, Bill, I heard what you said earlier. And I can assure you, your fears are not going to come to pass.
I have no fears. I'm just telling you the reality.
Okay.
I do what I'm told.
I care about this team. and I will make sure that this team is going to be healthy.
Well, I assure you that we'll have a grave impact on this team. And not even the personality. We're not even talking the person. I'm talking the process. And I told you, process is your friend when you're in local government. Unless you abuse it.
Let's you and I talk.
You yield the rest of the time to me. Huh?
You have it.
All right. On our membership and dues, they range from being very, very small, like that one, up to lots and lots of money. And I think that we need to evaluate each one as to the county's role as to whether or not it's important to be membership mm-hmm. or just a participating visitor to those meetings because it does add up to be a whole bunch. Like those, but in contract, are the many dues that we pay for the local union, but they're, I understand, are in the contract. I think you and I talked about that.
We don't pay them. The employees do. We don't pay any union dues. The employees. What you see on the warrants are the money's being accumulated from the employees' checks and then being sent to the union.
But they're an even amount.
I know. So doesn't make a difference. We don't pay union dues, Commissioner.
I thought we did.
No.
As union employees.
Employees pay their own dues. We do not pay any union dues.
Okay. Well, along those lines, I think that,
I'm happy to review all the dues. Commissioner Medor has reviewed that with me, and we're down to two that he has iron fists over. And I have all those outlined for you, so you can see how much they are. And
which ones are those?
Well, we have a whole list. It's a whole list of dues we pay to a number of different organizations.
Well, some we keep memberships in because we have to have someone in that department. Certified or in membership, we recognize those. But I thought that we had to become a member of each union as our employees were.
No, sir.
And that anyway. Okay.
No, we don't.
Well, okay. What would we probably work well would be for you and Bill to sit down together and walk through.
I have that list. It's easy. It'll be easy to walk through with you.
Okay. And then Bill will let me know if there's anything that you feel like between the two of you there's.
I have to look at the coding because I've got a copy of the codes as to the fund and the department because a lot of them have the same code.
Why don't you just go, if you want me to do a list for you so I can annotate that, check, go through your list and just mark it with a pen, you know, a highlighter, and I'll get the answer for you.
Like this.
Okay. Well, that's sure. Absolutely.
Like this.
Anyway, absolutely.
But I didn't want to eat up someone else's time.
Okay.
Figure them out myself.
I will. Let me review. I'll sit down with you.
Go back and repeat. I think that we need to review and consider a reasonable membership. That I believe in supporting our communities, but sometimes, and I ask other mayors if they belong to all these organizations, and they don't. So I wonder how we got into that. And, you know, like you said, $100 or so, you don't even worry about. But when you're looking at hundreds and thousands, it really adds up.
Okay.
Maybe at a later date, I want to make sure that we do another follow-up. Because when we talked to our treasurer before about allowing property tax payments,
mm-hmm.
he did some legislation that didn't address what he could do by law, mm-hmm. even though it's under his control,
mm-hmm.
that we want to maybe consider a more formal letter to him to see if we could get that to happen.
Already in place, sir. What you put in place and what I have him agreed to is that we would wait to the close of the session, and when that was done, he would evaluate whether or not he got any legislation he wanted. Okay. Because he doesn't need legislation to do it.
No,
other counties are doing it now. So what we agreed to, he is going to now, okay. and I will remind him, he was now going to present a proposal to the board of here, yes, I can provide partial payments, and here's how much it'll cost. to change the system.
I got that part. This is what I might need for extra staff.
No. I don't think he needs staff. I think he needs an addition to his system.
And when I talked to him personally, I said, if you need extra staff, we have extra IT people, and we could find you extra help.
So that he's going to present a proposal, okay. And then we'll evaluate the proposal.
I thought we might have been ignored because after we talked to him about it, he went to a different direction.
My meeting with Payne, I meet with the deputy treasurer every week, and that's on my list for tomorrow.
Related to that, Bill, and you and I talked about the idea of accepting electronic payments, credit card payments,
right.
And then see what you could do to negotiate the lowest rate for that, because there would be some fee involved. That would be I'd like to see what those answers would be. What would it cost us to be able to offer that service?
That property tax? How much would it cost to absorb that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can get you that.
Yeah, is that the only thing that would make sense to ask?
Well, that's the only difference. The policy so far has been that in those instances, and Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, in those instances where we let people pay, where people are allowed to pay their costs to the county with a credit card?
Or with, just simply make an electronic payment. Is that, we had talked about this. Refresh me what we had talked about.
I'm not sure that we can make electronic payment for property.
You can do a debit or you can do a credit, and there's a different fee associated with each one, but the problem that we have is that the credit card vendors won't allow us to do that at the counter. They make us do that at a separate location if the separate fee is going to be charged. It's kind of a complicated set of rules, and there's a lot of administrative rules in there that the credit card companies have huge control over.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have recently figured out a way to make this work, and I think Bill's right. He's got access to that information. A lot of it is from John Payne, who's done a lot of research.
Yeah, Payne's done a lot of research.
Right, okay.
And with regard to property, with property taxes, people can pay their property taxes with credit cards, but we charge them the fee, and it's like $32. $3,000 or $4,000.
It's a lot.
It's huge.
That's the issue.
Percentage.
And right now, the city of Vancouver does that, and their policy is they absorb those fees.
Yeah, I would think.
$250,000 a year.
Wow.
Citywide.
I can see that.
And that's what credit card vendors want you to do. And if you insist on charging, then they have a lot of kind of arcane rules about how you do it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that we would charge the customer for it. The question is, how can you allow the convenience of them to make an electronic payment, however that makes sense to them, and move us into the 21st century? We innovate when Clark County leads the state in so many ways. We really do. And the question is, how can we become a success in this area where people feel like, hey, we're on the stick, we do things smart here.
Okay.
And how do we do that, and what's it cost?
You know, there's some businesses that don't accept all credit cards because of the cost that's affiliated with that.
There's credit card, and there's online payment,
yeah.
And whatever way they can conveniently do it from home is the idea.
I think the ACH, the online payment, is a more likely outcome right now, but it's still complicated for a lot of people. They do want to still use their credit cards. Where we've landed, we've looked at this maybe 6 times so far in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Every time where it finally lands, no matter, you can negotiate a rate, we have to cut a check back to the credit card company, so we end up paying.
Well, here's on any problem, I normally make it a conscious effort not to try to solve 100%. Because you make things complex, and you're having to alter multiple ways. And so what I like to be able to do is to look at all the different options and pick the one that covers the majority of that would satisfy the majority of the people. If that makes sense and that becomes simple, and at least we have one way to do it, then we've accomplished a significant step in the right direction.
And for example, if we use payment of if we're going to do this with partial payment of property taxes, it seems more to make sense to use that as our test case and say, hey, can we do that? Can we make online payments as well?
However you think we ought to lead in that.
I'll talk to the treasurer and get us going.
Okay, to do it smarter. And maybe it isn't credit card, because anybody who's going to make
electronic
property tax payment has a bank account.
So there's a couple of options, because I came out of a financial industry where one of my jobs was to set up programs like this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several options that you can go to. You can go to automatic bank funds transfers,
mm-hmm.
which goes directly from their bank to your bank. And then there's the more well-known, like PayPal situations where, and then there's an array of companies out there that provide credit card processing, and based on the amount of business that you can probably say that you get, and you could find out what other counties might be doing, or you can really negotiate those fees down to a really small amount because they want that business. Mm-hmm. And so you just go out for bid to these different processing companies. Mm-hmm. And you can offer both. You can have one where they can mm-hmm. go in and use your credit card. There's a small fee. Mm-hmm. And then you can also go in and do the set so they can set up for automatic funds transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And
no,
either way, it's flowing into the county. Mm-hmm. And it's flowing in fast. And it's mm-hmm. there. Boom. Mm-hmm. You've got it.
That's what we found out. You're right.
Yeah.
And you're right that on the credit cards, we ended up, the deal is what kind of a fee could you negotiate? Mm-hmm. But we have to cut them a check for the service.
Well, yeah, you have to pay them for their service. So you have to decide whether the county is going to pay that and so whether mm-hmm. it, like, can't see that.
So that
and all
would be
the other options we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first way that you mentioned, just the electronic transfer, there's no charge for that, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
So why wouldn't we do that one as at least as a starting point?
There can be charges.
We can do it though.
Yeah. The bank can
okay.
charge.
In any case, Bill's going to check into it.
Right.
But sometimes a lot of banks will waive that if it's substantial.
Okay. And I would think that we'd
especially if they're holding our money, maybe.
Okay, thank you.
A couple of examples I was thinking about when I looked at this here, the dues that we paid to all the different chambers.
Right. That's the list I have. That's the list Commissioner Medora reviewed.
Yeah. And that's what I'm looking at when I have concern with why we pay membership to all the
chambers. Board directed Kelly when he became economic development manager that we shouldn't be just a member of Greater Vancouver. We should be able to join all of them
so
to show our good faith.
When was the last time you attended the Thousand Round Chamber meeting?
Kelly?
Last time I went there was probably in December.
Camas Washougal, I've attended one, and most of theirs are basically with a luncheon, and they're guests, and the guest speaker. So they're
usually get
so I'm looking for a benefit, or if they have something specific that we would go there as a guest. But I don't think we need to buy membership in every organization, every club that's offered up.
Well, you guys are going to have to reconcile that out then.
They're hard. They're hard. I understand that. But I think because some get to be so expensive, like the one on here that's optional that we pay with Portland State University, nearly
$6,000. That's one of Commissioner
Medora's. Yeah, that is one of mine.
I thought it was one of Steve's, too.
He's on the board. So,
well, what I mean when I say one of mine, one of those that I question, I'm thinking, if it's Clark County, I don't have a problem. You know, I'm more inclined to support it. But why are we sending money to a university in Portland? So that was one that I questioned.
So I'm just saying, as they come up, that's what I'm concerned. Would like to review them as they come up, and
just let me know what ones you have concern on, and be happy to.
I think see all of them. They range anywhere from 200 to 9,000, and so it's just a concern.
Okay, so what I suggest is go ahead and have a conversation with Bill.
Well, as they come due,
it's kind of late when they come due.
We just paid one.
Well, but not on all, so. The ones that have not come due yet.
That's not on there. This is one that's not on there.
That's right.
Well, okay. The ones that are on there, the sooner that you can sort that out with Bill and let me know if you have a concern on it, the sooner we can just simply address it before they even send us an invoice.
Good point. Okay. I'll do that. I'll give you the list. You're a bad guy. When is our parks meeting?
I can go find out.
Because my concern is this. Things are all over the place right now. Don't know what's going on. If we're going to make a major changes to address some of the things that Vancouver has published, read in the paper, if we make major changes and they have to do the same thing, 180-day notice. So hopefully, whenever it comes up, that we have time to talk to that consultant and learn something mm-hmm. and take action or no action by the first of June.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe before you go further on that, what the city council just decided was a proposal, right? They didn't actually make any changes, right? They can't make any changes any more than we can before the first of the year, right?
They have recommended, I believe, I don't know what they've done, but I believe what they've, I don't think they've taken any action. I think they had a workshop that listened to the final consultant's report. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're leaning towards a renegotiation of the interlocal agreement, which Pete Capel and Laura Hudson, the acting director, have basically worked out for presentation to you at our work session.
The options are
we certainly have to modify the interlocal agreement. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's based on what they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And we agree. We agree that it has to be from our point of view as well. And then based on what you want to do in terms of the total relationship and upcoming structure, do we modify that based on just service, mm-hmm. you know, services we want to buy from them?
Well,
or let me finish. And or do you want to give them notice that we're opting out of the interlocal agreement and we'll be doing our own thing?
There.
And we got to have Pete's input too. I've talked informally to Pete.
Correct. Because opting out has some long-term financial implications.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we can, but we can't. Yes, we can, maybe a little bit. That kind
of thing.
Oh, it's
a joint session with the folks at City Council on May 17th.
Well, that's getting close, because when do we have to have that decision made, Bill?
We
can actually do it almost
for the 6 months notice.
The following Wednesday.
I think it's either July 1st or... It's June 1st at the soonest, and probably July
1st. That's what I need
to know. 180 days.
But that's to give the notice.
We just want to make sure if it's June 1st, we don't want to miss that opportunity.
So we give them notice right now, but we've got to change.
Well.
Okay. Right. Moving on. Bill, we talked at one time about advisory boards and commissions that we have.
Yes.
Which ones have we eliminated?
Yeah, hi.
Or changed.
Well, that memo I sent out is the result of my survey.
Good.
I don't know, we added some and taken some away. That wasn't part of my study. What I was getting to is Commissioner Medora's goal was to make sure they're more disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, who takes minutes, the kind of minutes they would be taken, that they'd be taken and posted onto the website, and that kind of thing. It was kind of shape them up a little
and
bit.
And I know that we made some changes, like on three creeks. We did away with three creeks. We combined them.
Yes.
And I think we still have a Highway 99.
No.
Or was that combined?
No, that's gone.
That's gone, too. Yeah. So then we probably should be more active with Hazeldale Chamber, is that what it's called?
Businessmen's Association.
Yeah.
But that's not this, though. These are ones that you appoint.
Yeah.
These are boards and commissions that the board is either authorized by statute, mandated by statute, or authorized by code to appoint members to.
We'll get back on track.
Okay.
Well, actually, just to touch that, you were talking about advisory boards here, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this was a little 93-year-old couple that I kind of babysit. I adopted them. She calls me son, and I call her mom. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He just was out of the hospital. Anyway, regarding the advisory boards, Bill and you and I talked about this, and you tell me if this makes sense if we're already moving forward on this, just like you're recording this meeting here, and we post this on our board times online on our website, right?
Right.
Okay. The idea would be for all of the advisory board meetings that they would do the same thing. They would record their meetings, and they would post those on there would be an information bucket. There's already all the advisory teams have a placeholder on our website, and there would be a place for the audio recordings for each meeting that would go there. And that would do a couple of things. One, it would help us be able to tune in to them because they serve at the boards. They serve to help us, right? It would minimize the burden that they have to carry to keep detailed minutes. For instance, the PAC is paying, or the PRAC is paying a consultant to take detailed minutes, drawing from the parks fund to do that every meeting, and this would allow them to just simply have somebody just do a quick summary and take the important points, like we do at our own commissioner meetings here. Does that make sense to the committee implement that?
Yeah, we do that.
Well, the thing is getting the materials.
Yeah, so
that's the rub. So
the materials.
getting the recordings and the summaries?
Well, there's two parts to that. One is to make sure they're all equipped with a little recorder. I assume these are, what, $40 or something each? And the other would be get some memory cards and have a process where they would make it so that they can download it.
Well, I've directed them to do that. I sent out memo. I sent out, you got a copy. I sent out a memo based on my analysis of what they answered and told them that that's what the commissioners wanted them to do.
Okay. I haven't seen it happen yet.
He has a copy right there.
Well, I mean, I looked on the website yesterday. There's
I sent it out when? March 3rd. So it's been... Is that my memo?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I will follow up.
Examples that the Veterans Assistance Center has started doing that. And then they went out and they compared the price of having staff to transpose it. And they also had a private person. And it was close enough to stay with staff to transpose it.
Well, they shouldn't have to transpose it.
And they're getting that done for like $25.
Oh, well, that's good.
So okay. it's a great way to do it. It's available out there.
Well,
the other thing I wanted to bring up, more on that?
Well, yeah. I would love to be able to tune in more to our advisory boards. Right now there's no contact information for any of them. There's on the website.
Mary,
pardon me.
You're listening to this.
Asking to.
Yeah.
Commissioner Mandor wants more substance to advisory boards on the website.
Yeah. To
contact
to
information, posting of their minutes by recording.
Yes, and if that is the desire of the board, then the word needs to go forth to.
Okay.
The
let you and I develop a memo. I'll send it to the same audience I just talked to and.
Yeah, what I don't want to do is make more work for them. I want to make life easier for them and help them to know that we care about them, we're tuned in,
we're watching you.
No. Basically, the idea is that they advise us. If we can't even contact them.
Once a year.
If we can't even read
what they say.
Or hear or tune into their meetings, if we can't even submit a question to them, we're out of the loop. And this allows them to be able to have a way that hopefully they can improve the communication with us and with each other.
We have no less than two or three that send that to us on email, and you could print it out or read it.
Well,
and that might be the easiest way to do it.
Well,
but when you record it for accuracy, and then you could transpose it for the purpose of sending it out in a hard copy or email.
Well, you don't. The thing is about an audio is that you don't have to transpose every word for an audio, because when you imagine them doing that for our meetings, once you got an audio recording, all you need to pull out is the decisions and the important points, and just simply those become abbreviated, just like our minutes for our commissioner meetings.
Well, that's what I was just mentioning to Mary is if you're providing an audio. It may be an ADA issue that requires a transcription in writing, so that if deaf people want to know exactly what was said, if the hearing people can get that, then they would be able to get that equally. And so there may be.
Can you find out if we certainly need to comply with whatever we need to comply? Right now, I don't think we're keeping detailed minutes. I would think that. Requirement would be satisfied by recording the important points of a meeting, and that's still the plan to do that anyway. If you want to hear all the detail and all the conversation, then the audio is additionally there. You tell me if this is asking an unreasonable amount, be able to have the names and the contact information for the people that are there. A email address, or be able to somehow send a message to them, so they can, if we have an idea we'd like for them to consider, we can have a way to communicate that to them. They can reply back.
That idea goes usually from the department that they use to set up a work schedule for the year, and they have these tasks for the year.
Well, we don't even have those.
For us to enter.
Those are not even posted on the advisory on the website.
We get all the information from the Planning Commission. That they tell us when the next meeting is, what the subjects are going to be, and the Clean Water Commission does the same thing, but I don't think we get the notice of it, but we don't get the minutes or the recording of it. So, and we're trying, and the idea of what we went off with this was to limit the amount of time that our staff participates in those evening meetings, because then they're not here the next day, or someday they have to get comp time to not be here.
Well, the idea would be to support our committees with the staff that they need, but we wouldn't be over, we wouldn't just overstaff them without having the staff,
the committee, even the
knowledge of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we can increment in the direction.
Yeah.
Does that make
I'll
sense?
I'll work with Maria.
There's a number of different aspects to that, and the web is not the largest aspect. I think it has more to do with the nature and production and availability of the materials.
And we'll get back to you. And we'll work
okay,
back
thank you.
We had an introduction to what Battleground was talking about.
CPG,
they were talking about a trail. On the opposite side of the tracks from the new road, and I'm concerned about that, because on this side is where they want to put the walking trail alongside the track, and over here they're going to have a 10-foot sidewalk. And
we had a big meeting on that, Commissioner, with the City of Battleground, City Manager, the Public Works Director, and that's some degree in a holding pattern right now. If you, he's gonna, the city manager is gonna take it back to the city. Commissioner Stewart really is the one who should present that maybe at next week's board time to you, kind of the takeaways. But they're going to look at the alternative route B, which would not interfere with our right of way, would not, to my knowledge, interfere with the plastics.
I thought it was repetitive to put a sidewalk on both sides.
Yeah, and they're working it out. So
okay.
They're supposed to be coming back to us with some solutions, and Commissioner Stewart was at that meeting.
Yeah.
So I think he'll report back to you guys on it.
All right. The other thing I wanted to share is that I participated in a meeting last Thursday night with the fire marshal. I shared with you a little bit. They were looking at funding for the fire marshal. While I thought we probably had the attention and support of 3/4 of the people that were there, basically 3 of the fire chiefs was in opposition to it for one reason or another. Some of the things they thought, maybe the unions wouldn't allow the firemen to do the inspection that the fire marshal does, and maybe the fire marshal union won't let the firemen do it. The firemen do what they call, and I don't know what it is, a Class B inspection. So we suggested that we use our fire marshal's office for a hub of information of places that have at least a Class B inspection, which is probably 80% of what we would normally do, but there's something specific about the fire marshal. So then there was a conversation as to whether or not those firemen interested would be wanting to take up the class and take the test to have the credentials of the fire marshal, so that when they go out to do their Class B, they could write it off as a Class A, I guess, and have it done. It's really amazing. Again, the fire chiefs were concerned who was going to pay the overtime for the class and who would be manning the firehouse if they were at class. And I said, no, you misunderstood what I'm saying. We'll do the funding and do the teaching, and those interested could do it on their own time. So while it was a give and take, I think it was a successful meeting. There's a lot of compromise. Fire Commissioner Roy Ryan was there, was very interested in the cross training and whatnot. So, and we were able to express to them it wasn't the intent of the legislature when they did that to completely separate the fire marshals from the fire districts. We're supposed to be working in harmony. And we cited the example of what happened in Texas when the firemen were not familiar with the site that blew up and killed 15 of them. That's how I kept them behind me. The other ace in the hole that I had is that in our conversations that's still open is the fire training and skill center proposal on the fairground site. So that's still our ace in the hole as we negotiate.
What was
that
last one?
The Skills Center
of last week.
And the fire training proposal is on the fairground site.
Mm-hmm.
That's our ace in the hole for negotiating with the fire district to help us support the fire marshal. Before that, we worked on that already. We had we received an email. From Dave Helm, and he brought something up that I thought was really a great idea, and we've done part of this, and he was talking about having a forestry plan for all of our forested areas that belong to the county, such as or similar to, or maybe expand what we've done at Bonneville. Yeah. And the other thing that went through my mind was that new park that we have work to do on up there north of the center on the old highway. I don't know, it would be nice to go in there and have a farm or a harvesting or maintenance plan for that. That's a huge, huge area up there.
Oh, I got that email too. I've been working with Jim Vandling on it. I know he responded. I haven't got all the way
oh,
through.
Great.
So I'll bring that back well, next Wednesday.
Great. And the other thing had to do with the C-TRAN notifying all of us about who's going to sit on a a special board for C-TRAN.
Oh, and, that's the letter that Jeff Hamm sent out about the 4-year evaluation?
The verbiage on it said that somebody from each city and three county commissioners would comprise the composition review committee. And I don't think it was meant to be that way. I think they were trying to say one of us. So I think they're looking for one of us, one of the city council, and so on. So I noticed that we all got copies of all the other mayors that were notified.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I have an opinion on that.
Surprise.
Yeah. That the makeup actually that special we had a special set all day Saturday session for C-TRAN about a month ago. And they identified the kind of evaluated how has C-TRAN been working since its inception and where's the dysfunctions. And one of the things that came out of there was really the representation that to C-TRAN and how there's really dysfunction there. So this is the time to make a correction if we're going to make a correction. And so what I would suggest on that, and it would be up to the small cities to decide if they want to do this, would be that each of the small cities, instead of them sharing a representative, they each would have their own. The center would have their own, the occult would have their own, Richfield would have their own. Instead of pairing up Washougal, Camas, they would each have their own representative because they have their differences, mm-hmm. and they would each get be fully represented that way. This is the time to do that. If there is, I assume that if he did his homework, if he said three county commissioners, I assume it's three county commissioners. If it's only one,
well,
I would volunteer
surprising.
To be that one, but I assume it's going to be all three.
And it said a representative from each city in the county and three county commissioners, which told me that they only have one from the city and still three county commissioners. I can't imagine them getting away with that. I don't think the city would let them do that. But you're right. That's what this committee's for, and one of the things that we were talking about was removing the veto power.
Well, there's two parts
so,
to that.
Yeah. So as
the first part is getting the representation. Mm-hmm. The second part is changing the bylaws. Too.
Yeah. So
while they're both changing the bylaws,
we're looking for some clarity on that. And that's all I have. Anybody else have anything for the good of the order?
Sure.
And then I believe we're done.
Thank you.
All right. I need some time to go through you guys if you got it.
Sure.
Thanks.
I just need you to hear that.
Thank you.
Oh, right.
I had my office, so you can...
Will you be here for a little bit?
I will be here all day.
Oh, I'll do you first, then. I'll tell him.
Sure.
Okay, big news. So the hiring process has now begun here. That's what the board directed.
The hiring process.
For Don Benton to become...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I got that clear, because I know that shifted all of a sudden. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's where we went.
Okay.
Said, you know, we don't have all the answers. I think we have the qualified person.
Okay.
And the it's not unusual. Usually what practices I've seen done is that they'll say, okay, we'll appoint so-and-so for an interim a CEO and director's position, and they go back and hiring for the most part. And here I think that we're skipping the interim part because we have Anita Largent.
Right, yeah, she's the interim right now.
Interim person there. When you talk about managers and whatnot, I think by performance is at the top of the heap.
Okay.
And you know, we always talk about hiring locally.
Right.
And I think some of the remarks that Commissioner Stewart made were out of place.
Yeah, are you disappointed in that?
I was surprised.
Okay. I mean,
it bothered me. It's surprising and it's bothersome.
Well, here's the question then: how? Because he's not going to be the only one that says that when this comes out. I mean, Bill sat here and said this destroys 14 years of HR practices.
Well, that's the way it was crafted before. That they did this long, slow, drug out process.
Okay. And you're right.
And we're saying we're behind the gun now.
Yeah.
This person hasn't been in place for several months. We are going into the construction period. This is part of our economic driver as to how we affect. And one of the things that, I don't know if you were in the meeting the other day, when the project warranted $19,000 in environmental impacts to a bridge we were going to repair
because
the concrete got washed out. Remember when I asked, I said, well, who decided that?
Mm-hmm.
Our own staff took $19,000 out of something that was being done in the name of safety and the need of the general public to go plant trees somewhere when I could have enhanced the immediate area or in use that money, that $19,000, in the next project. I can take your house for eminent domain,
right,
to the betterment of the general public. But you're telling me that I see a bridge that goes.